joined right now by the very awesome, the wonderful Cameron Day of AscensionHelp.com, an amazing site. Cameron, thank you so much for coming back to the Mind of BCS.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, absolutely. Cameron, you know, I kind of want to give you the floor here. We're going to let you plug yourself now, and we'll do it again at the end of the show. But kind of give everybody, you know, your background. Tell us a little bit about you and about AscensionHelp.com.
Okay, so yeah, the website is AscensionHelp.com. And my background, well, there's a little bio about me on the thing. I tend to not put so much focus on me and my story in this particular lifetime, because I know that who and what I am spans much, much more than that. And so the reason that I made this site, the reason why my higher self urged me to make it, was to be a catalyst, to help catalyze and spark that inspiration in other people so that they can realize that they have the power. They've always had the power. They just have to take that power back. They have to, in a sense, deprogram themselves, deprogram their souls. And when they do so, they will begin to wake up to who they really are, which is much, much more than any singular lifetime personality or ego.
Very cool. Very, very cool. Now, Cameron, how did you kind of stumble upon this knowledge? Because I like talking about these stories because they're always so, like, different and varied and really fascinating. For myself, it was, you know, I was at a really crappy point in my life, and I simply made the decision to not be anymore. And that kind of led me on a weird kind of esoteric path that turned into a book, and now kind of here we are. So what was it for you? Did you, like, you know, from age 5, were you just, like, meditating in the grass, or, like, what happened?
Yeah, well, okay, so in other incarnations, I put in a lot of work, so to speak.
Right.
And so I came into this particular incarnation with a mission in mind, with a plan, and I was always very different than all of the other kids, so to speak. And my parents observed some interesting phenomena around me as a child, and so they were pretty well convinced that I was an unusual kid. One of my mom's favorite stories is I'm running around in the kitchen and all of a sudden, a cabinet opens up and a bag of cereal falls out, lands on the floor, and at the same moment, I slip and fall, and my head lands right on the bag of cereal.
Wow.
As a nice little pillow. And so then they're sitting there flabbergasted. I just hop up and bounce away, and, you know, off I go. I didn't think anything of it.
That's a great story.
it is a great story. And so then, in my childhood, I had some unusual experiences, some contacts with high-frequency beings, what I would call service to other beings from higher densities, in the dream state mostly. And then I also had some contact with the unfriendlies, what I would call the ankle-biters, the service-to-self beings. And I remember actually one of them, a fourth-density being, service-to-self critter, kind of floating above my bed at night, trying to essentially probe my consciousness. And fourth density is weird compared to third density. When you see something in fourth density, you see every aspect of it simultaneously. So it kind of looks like a cube and multiple geometric shapes kind of undulating from one into another. It is, so it was a little freaky, and I was maybe 6 or so years old. So I told it to go away, and it did. And so that kind of clued me in that, oh, well, I can tell these things to leave me alone. And so I've always known they were there. And that's something that has kind of been lost in our society. Our current level of consciousness is geared very narrowly to just what we can perceive with our 5 physical senses. But these other densities are constantly there. They don't go anywhere. They're interpenetrating our current third density. So it's not like you move up, so to speak, on some kind of pyramid or ladder. It's more of realms that interpenetrate each other. So the closer the realm is, the more contact you can have. And the more open you are to contact, the more contact you'll receive. And if you're not discriminating about your contact, and yes, it's okay to be discriminating with these densities. We're not talking about we're not talking about prejudice necessarily here. We're talking about the type of consciousness that you're inviting in and the type of boundaries that you're stating very clearly of what you will and will not accept. So now, unfortunately, a lot of people just, they're so thirsty for a spiritual or a paranormal experience that they'll invite in almost anything. And they'll get anything. But what they'll usually get is a service to self being posing as a guide or an angel or ET or whatever else that will get that person to accept that entity and to kind of entrain themselves to that entity.
I just, you speak of that, all I can think of is Paranormal Activity, the movie. That's all I can think of. Now, because, you know, we like to do kind of a 101 here on In the Mind of DCS. So for all my listeners that are just sitting there shaking their head going, oh my God, these guys are crazy. When we talk about these different entities on the fourth dimension, is it like the movies or are we completely off base? I mean, because especially you talked about, you know, inviting things in and what not to invite in. So do we have to go all like ritual when we do these types of things? Or, I mean, is it really as easy as, wow, you are negative, go away?
It's a little bit in between that. You don't want to get ritualized or mechanistic in your behavior. That's actually a symptom of fourth density service to self. And well, even third density service to self. Any kind of ritualized behavior, it makes you very, very predictable, first of all. And if they can predict you, that's a little easier for them to manipulate you. Now, I didn't see that movie, Paranormal Activity. I did see the trailer and decided not to bother. In general, Hollywood completely misses the mark on all of this stuff. They try to make it all as scary as possible. And the thing is, it's not really scary. It's just like 3D. You've got good people and you've got bad people. Gotcha. You've got people that you want to hang out with and people that you'd rather not hang out with. And it's a little more complicated, obviously, because the more refined the density, the more potentials of expression that there are within it, but it's not really that scary.
Gotcha. So what is necessary here, I would think, is kind of an understanding. Just knowledge, basically, is very literally power in this instance.
Exactly. Knowledge is power. Knowledge will help you to not get afraid, because the negative entities, service to self beings, will try to make you afraid, because that fear opens up a doorway for them to penetrate further into your realm. Now, when I say realm, it's a very important term. Each individual has their own realm, their own kind of personal universe. I kind of like to refer to it as your sphere of consciousness, and it's a very large encapsulating energy field that surrounds your body and is generated by your mind, your emotions, your thoughts, your soul resonant frequency, your spirit core, the core of who you truly are, and your higher self. So all of these components make that up. So if you have a gap, say, in your knowledge, well, that can be exploited by negative beings. So the more you know, the more power potentially that you have and that you can wield. And the power is not a power over another to conquer, but rather the power to have dominion over your own personal realm.
That makes sense.
The power that you talk about, is this for the listeners out there, is this the same as basically the energy that we are?
Yes. And the energy that you are is actually what the negative beings want. Because they are entropic beings, meaning that they are experiencing constant entropy, because they have cut themselves off from the unlimited source through being self-serving rather than serving others, they have lost the ability to simply tap into the infinite energy of this creation. But we all have that naturally. So we are kind of like infinite energy generators to them. At least that's how they see humans.
Very cool.
Mm. So basically they feed off our energy, which we are, our breath of life, or whatever you want to term it.
Right. And they've set up this planet and this society to perpetually generate fuel for them because they need it to be low frequency or at the very least ignorant. So if, for example, you're in anger or hatred, that feeds them. But if you're also, say, ignorantly love bombing a politician, I'm sure you've seen those emails that go around, let's love bomb this person and change them. Well,
humanitarian bombing of Libby is my favorite.
Yeah, well, that's a whole other kettle of fish. But essentially, if you're trying to love bomb some being, because you're doing it really without understanding the metaphysical mechanics involved in that, that can also be useful energy for them. They do actually refine this energy, but in the sense of making it as impure as possible. Mm-hmm. So that it feeds their particular frequency.
Gosh, there's a whole lot of dark side manipulation going on here, just to simplify things. I like
that. Yeah, that's it in a nutshell. And so the reason I am doing what I'm doing is to wake people up to what's going on, to give them knowledge and give them tools that they can use to take that power back, to claim their own sovereignty over themselves, and to also heal the traumas that have been inflicted on their soul over many, 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 many lifetimes and incarnations, along with the current one as well.
Well, are they karmically inflicting more traumas upon themselves in the future or in the present? I don't know how that would work in another density, if you want to call it density.
Well, you're talking about the fourth density ankle biters?
Mm-hmm. The ones that would feed off energy.
Well, they're attempting to inflict trauma on others as much as possible, but they also do it to themselves, not necessarily like self-inflicted harm, but they will, say, abuse a being lower than them on the hierarchy.
Mm.
So they're very hierarchical, they're very entropic, and so they have a finite amount of energy in their system, and as it goes up through the densities, there's a whole legion of fourth density beings, many that have been enslaved from other planets and kind of tricked into joining their forces, and then above them there's kind of like a middle management, and then there's beings that above them as well. And then you get into the fifth density, and there's a whole other range of service to self beings. These are kind of like the highly adept black magicians, also what we would consider, you know, irredeemable evil, so to speak. But there's even a density above them as well, where the service to self path extends to, in the sixth density. But it's very much like almost like a black hole of consciousness. And so they're feeding on the lower rungs of their hierarchy. So there's a constant feeding on whatever's beneath them going on.
So is this hierarchy set up something similar to the hierarchy that's explained in like the Urantia book?
I don't know the Urantia book, actually.
It goes in levels from universal beings to galactic beings, and there's a whole hierarchy of different dimensional beings, and they're put in different places at different times for, I guess, ascension of different races or beings. And it's a book that's been around for quite a while, actually. I think it was first written in like 58 or 78. I can't remember the date.
Yeah, I've heard the title, but I can't really speak to the accuracy or my perception of the accuracy of that book.
We've got a chat room question really quick, and it's a really good one, because especially when we're trying to, I know myself personally, like I knowledge, it absolutely is power. So when you're, you know, we'd like to invite, you know, light beings to come in and commune with us. But a lot of times, you know, we watch TV. We know it's, you know, we get the wrong message. So your area, Cameron, your blog and your website are awesome because it really does help to spread the information about, you know, the truth of the matter, which is fantastic. But the question from the chat room is, do you know where all this terminology comes from? Like when we talk about third density and fourth density and that sort of thing.
Yeah, the major source for a lot of what I'm discussing as far as the density levels go comes from what's called the Raw Material or the Law of One books. And these are one of the very few good channelings that exist out there. And the being or the sixth density social memory complex, as they call themselves, known as Raw, was channeled through three people. And it was actually the cohesiveness of that group that allowed them to form that communication channel and keep it from being hacked by the lower density service to self beings, at least quite a bit. I mean, I'm sure there are some inaccuracies in there. There's parts of it that are worded in a very obscure way. But for the most part, it's a very, very high level. I can't even really call it a book, but a series of books explaining in detail a lot of what I'm kind of glossing over here.
Now, who wrote the Law of One?
Well, that's the three people that channeled it were Carla Ruckert, Don Elkins, and I'm forgetting the third guy's name right now.
The third guy who is awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Right.
Just forgotten your name. Very cool. Very cool. So, Cameron. Now, but I think the fascinating thing about this, because we say, I mean, there's so much information out there, and we tell people all the time to use your own discernment, because you really have to. You really kind of have to, even when you read all these spiritual books that are by whoever, you kind of got to take the thing that kind of just that resonates with you and kind of just kind of push the rest aside. Do you approach things similar to that? Because, I mean, not only have you read these books, but you've actually had, you know, experiences to kind of back them up.
Right. That is basically what I recommend to people. I can give you a few guidelines, too. In general, if somebody's channeling something, be very, very careful. If they're channeling somebody every day, I would be extremely careful. If the source or the message is coming through and it's very, like, fluffy and generalized and sort of almost tranquilizing in its message, like a hypnotic, putting you into a hypnotic trance, it might be calming you and soothing you, and that might feel nice, but is it just putting you into really a form of a trance, making you more open and suggestible? Well, if that's the case, put it aside. Don't go back there. Now, I want to back up to the daily channelers, because the way that communication between densities works is it's very tricky, because you have to attune yourself completely to that density, but also that frequency. So you want to obviously be tuning into the service to others side of that density, or the beings within that density. You want to be very, very clear in your statement that you will not allow or accept any service to self beings to come in or affect your message. They'll try to anyways, but you have to put that statement out there that you are not going to allow them. You have to really seal off that channel, so to speak. It has to be a hardened conduit to that particular density. So to tap into that every single day, just, you know, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to channel whoever, Archangel or whatnot, that person is going to get hacked eventually. That's just kind of, unfortunately, how it works, because they're not putting in the protocols and the effort and the diligence required to receive a pure communication channel.
So what about consistency with someone like, say, Bashar? How would you take someone like that channels the stuff that he channels?
I haven't really spent much time on Bashar. I noticed some interesting stuff, some fairly positive commentary. I do sense a lot of repetition there.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a flag for me.
Yeah.
So that then brings us to the channels that essentially abdicate their body and let someone else in.
Mm.
That is extremely dangerous, and I would caution anyone very strongly against doing that. You are in your body because you chose to have this incarnation. You chose to be here at this time to have these experiences, and you need to have control and dominion over your physical vehicle. You don't want to leave it behind. You don't want to get out of here. And if you do have those desires, a being that wants to be in it can begin jockeying for a position. And in general, the positive beings on higher densities don't want to take over third density bodies. They may incarnate the proper way, but they're not going to try to do a walk-in type thing because somebody went out of body and left their body for too long. So channeling is a similar thing, and you might start off with the right being or the being that you choose, but again, you'll have to fend off a lot of incursions from the negative beings if you choose to leave your body and let somebody else try to talk through it.
Well, so how similar are, say, possessions to someone that is channeling something, or is there a big difference for the audience out there so they know?
There's similarities, but there's differences. In a possession scenario, the person has been generally worn down by the negative forces. Their natural defenses have been worn down probably through drug and alcohol abuse, through various traumas that they've experienced in their lives. And then at a certain point, after maybe getting temporarily possessed, say while incredibly drunk, the people that don't remember what they did when they were drunk, have zero recollection of events, well, that's most likely it was a temporary possession. But these beings usually only temporarily possess. They don't want to deal with any kind of repercussions, or they certainly don't want to deal with somebody who could actually properly exercise them. So they'll pop in and then they'll pop out again.
Gotcha.
So really not in their best interest for any long-term possession, but we'll come in, suck out some of your energy, cause some trouble, and then roll out again.
Exactly.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. And it's so fascinating for me to hear you say that, because Melchi and I are... We have a lot of fun with different world religions and that sort of thing. So to hear you talk about what a lot of people talk about, possession or demons, in such a very kind of matter of fact, well, this is fourth density and this is what you did and this is why it happened. So I just it's just nice to hear it kind of laid out in those terms.
Yeah, and it's all actually pretty logical. And so it's really important for people when they're embarking on their spiritual journey to retain their logical mind and not just cast it aside because they think it's their ego. Now, logic and ego do kind of go together, but when you put the ego in its proper place, which is very tiny, it should just be this little kind of like a Microsoft Outlook kind of calendar reminder that you've got to run these errands, you've got to pick up these groceries, you've got to avoid the traffic jam, that kind of stuff. That's the ego's purpose, is to navigate you through 3D. So when it's nice and tiny and just doing those little reminders, that's good. Then you apply your logic to what you're receiving through your intuition, well, the flashes of insight that you're receiving, or the things that you're reading. Now, I'm going to say something kind of controversial here, that probably, I'd say 90% of the stuff I come across online is either harmful to some extent, in that it can bring a person's sovereignty down. It can invite in beings that they don't really want, but that they're fooled into thinking that they want. A lot of it is just kind of made up. A lot of it is disinformation. There's a lot of government disinfo people out there posing as spiritual whatevers and putting out all kinds of information. And so the thing you need to look for is, are they putting you into fear or are they empowering you? Because, you know, I talk about a lot of crazy kind of, you know, what might seem like scary stuff, but I do it in a way that it's empowering you and just giving you the facts so that you can avoid these little pitfalls.
And thank you so much for saying that, Cameron. I really, really appreciate it. Because, I mean, Mel Cheese and I, we talk about that all the time. All the time. And there is so much. There is so much of it out there. And I have often joked that I think a lot of these poor people who think they're, you know, channeling an archangel are probably talking to some guy in an NSA basement. Just to throw that out there.
Yeah, there's... <You know? laughs> Sure, that's entirely possible. And if, and if not that, then there's certainly a fourth density analog to that.
Right, definitely. Now, let's talk a little bit about what's up on planet Earth. Let's do it.
Okay. So, I want to touch briefly on the fact that there are many, many, many loving, service-to-others-oriented beings on every density, and many of them are very highly focused on Earth right now. In fact...
Right.
Why are they focused on Earth? Well, I'll come back to that really quick. I also want to put in that let's say the source consciousness that generated this universe is also focused on Earth right now. And I am basing that on information that I received from my higher self in a lucid dream state. And I could talk later about how I know that it was my higher self and that I wasn't being fooled by an incubator and all that. But essentially the message was the source is focused on Earth. And it can and will and already is erasing, literally erasing the, we'll call it the forces of darkness that have really hijacked this planet.
So basically what you just said, Cameron, because and I'm going to do this for some of our listeners, is that Source, a.k.a. God, focused on planet Earth right now, kicking the bad guys out. That's
right.
What you're telling me. Oh,
but it's,
goodness, I'm so
but
excited.
But it's doing it in a very gentle way. So it's kind of slow from our perspective, but because we're in a sense trapped in linear time. But the process is initiated. And so what we're experiencing right now is the extreme struggle for survival of the dark. And so it's very extreme right now. And they're pumping it out on every level that they can, on third density with all of the tyrannical laws and crazy stuff going on, and you've got the people basically that are experiencing a possession incident through opening themselves up from these, you know, these exotic drugs. I mean, crystal meth is bad enough, but then they have these you know, so-called bath salts and this and that. And I heard you guys talking about that earlier. So that's you know, opening people up to possession, at least temporarily, and it's all really because these forces are scrambling. It's like you turn on the lights and all the bugs, all the insects are scrambling for dark corners. Now, we've made excellent progress. The outer grid that surrounds the planet has been restored to a light grid instead of being a dark haven for these critters. But in being kind of ratted out from that outer grid, a lot of them are kind of running around now in the lower grids that they still have a decent amount of control of. And so while there's more light coming in, there's more etheric energy being made available. At the same time, those higher frequency energies will imbalance a person if they're not prepared to integrate them, and will unfortunately skew them to being more receptive to the negative beings.
thank you as well for saying that too, because that is also a caution that we, you know, we haven't been on a while, but we talk about that a lot, that you've got to do everything in balance. You can't just, you know, it's kind of dangerous to kind of open up yourself up one day. It's just like, bring it in, and then you get smacked with it, and you weren't prepared, and now, like, it's all going to hell.
Exactly. And so that's why you want to engage your higher self first and foremost. And the higher self, the term that I'm using it, is you perfected, meaning you, after having learned every lesson that you need to learn, gone through all of the densities, and you're back at the source point, the entrance, so to speak, to the universe. And before you merge back into the oneness, you extend yourself back through your past and help yourself in every moment that is possible to do so throughout every incarnation, because now you have the ability to do that.
That sounds so complicated. We're going to have to simplify that process. I know it's not, because I just kind of go through like a chakra meditation, and I've listened to your guided meditation too. It's super simple.
Yeah, super simple.
Some of the listeners are going like, what? I got to do what with the karmic and the what? No.
So all you have to do then essentially is call on your higher self. So that complicated definition I gave you is just so you can kind of have a concept of what your higher self is.
What is the higher self, Cameron?
It's what I just said.
Okay, good. Is it the soul? How do we kind of define that for people that basically, for example, some of our listeners I know that are listening today come from a very Christian-oriented background. Is there some kind of terminology we can use to help them understand?
Probably not, but okay. What I'd like to do is just, again, give that idea that if you can conceive of you having gone through all of the lessons that you've wanted to learn in third density and the higher densities, you've integrated yourself completely. You have complete awareness of everything you've ever done or thought or experienced. You've cleaned up and healed every trauma that's ever happened in any lifetime. And you are essentially ready to exit the universe because you have completed everything you've wanted to experience within the universe. That is the higher self.
It is a badass version of you.
Exactly. The best possible version of you, the most enlightened, the most expanded, the most aware version of yourself that you can't even really comprehend. You can't even conceive of what it's like yet. But at the same time, you can tap into that because you are now reaching back through time to help yourself.
That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. I want to get more into that, Cameron, but let me backtrack here for a second. You said that, especially because we're talking about the year of 2012, you said that everybody's kind of focused on planet Earth right now. Why? I mean, the source especially, I mean, that's like huge, like big intelligence himself is like focused on Earth. Why are we so important? Why is this time so important?
So the dark has basically hijacked the time cycles on this planet. And because time is cyclical, it goes in loops or cycles or patterns that come back around upon themselves. But at each point that it comes around, if you imagine not just a circle on a two-dimensional plane, but rather an ascending spiral. So as you come back around to the previous point, you're at a higher level than you were before. So they've hijacked that ascending spiral, and they have proliferated here. Now there's, within that service to self energy, that essentially that oppositional aspect of the Creator that opposes evolution, that wants to maintain entropy, there's a variety of beings. I don't want to get too bogged down into the details of them, but they can proliferate themselves through humans. In other words, they can make more negativity. So if a human is thinking negative thoughts, they're producing a negative thought form. And the more that thought form is given energy, the more energetic mass that it accrues, the more independent it can become. So in a sense, they're farming or growing negative thought forms using the human being and the nearly infinite power contained within the human.
Wow.
And so they've gotten really out of balance. So the dark side, the service to self path, had an original, let's say, purpose, which was to stimulate evolution by providing some resistance. What they've ended up doing is expanding their power base far out of proportion of where it was supposed to be.
Now that makes a lot of sense, especially because of a lot of things that we talked about. So basically, you know, when back in the day when all this started, they came here with a purpose, and that was kind of to provide a little bit of balance, help stimulate us. We needed some sense, I guess, of disconnect, I guess, to kind of get to where we are now. But then they just ended up taking over, is what you're saying.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay. Please continue. As to why planet Earth is so important now. So basically, they've hijacked the timeline in a sense, and now we're trying to get it back.
Essentially, yeah, we're taking control once again of the timeline, and also cleaning up all of the extra, so to speak, dark forces that have been produced. Now, a lot of these thought forms, they're just thought forms. They're autonomous, but they don't have a soul spark. They don't have a spark of the original spirit within them. They're just really automatons. They're like machines. And their only purpose is to perpetuate themselves in their own frequencies. And so they've created this level of imbalance and really slavery on this planet. And the planet has said, this isn't, enough is enough, we gotta deal with this. They can't still be in control on the next time cycle. Because if they are, then things will get even more unbalanced. So this is kind of the key point to restore that balance, to put them in their proper place. Just like the ego, they shouldn't be all big and bad and large and in charge, they should be a minor aspect.
Very cool. Very, very cool. Let me pause before we continue, because we've got a great question from the chat room about the higher self. And the question comes from Don. Don asks, what's the difference between higher self and being a perfectionist person? He says, I would think striving to be perfect would be done with a sense of pride and borderline arrogance, which does not strike me as being a higher version of self.
Yeah, so when I say perfected, it's hard to put it into words, so.
Right.
To say, yeah, I mean, a human being that has, you know, perfectionist kind of obsessive tendencies, that's obviously not the direction you want to go. That's limiting your awareness, once again, to the physical. So a better term would be expanded, aware, incredibly knowledgeable, practically all-knowing, and definitely all-knowing within the sense of knowing everything that you've ever experienced in every incarnation, on every density. All of that knowledge and wisdom is available to your consciousness. So that's what makes you essentially the higher self, because you're at this level of evolution where you've gone from a fragment of spirit that is kind of plunged into total unawareness through physicality, come up through the physicality, gained awareness, gained spiritual mass, so to speak, or etheric energy, and gone up through the densities, incorporated more and more of who and what you really are, purified and cleansed and healed any wounds on the soul, and gotten yourself to a point where you're essentially ready to merge back into the pool of total awareness that you came from originally, which is spirit, the source, the Godhead, whatever term you want to put on it, words fall very short.
I think it definitely is hard to describe something like that. You really have to feel it, know it. Yeah, terminology is rough when we talk about that kind of stuff. It is difficult to find the right word. Let's go back to the awesome things that are happening on planet Earth, because 2012 is a you know, a serious year for a lot of people. We've got doomsayers, we've got the people that don't care, we've got people who think it's going to be a great big, you know, celebration of kumbaya. And Cameron, we were just talking about how the Source and other, you know, beings of light and love and service to others are focused on Earth right now. What's the end game? Like, what are we working towards here? Are we working towards all being heart-based living, or is it simply just, we'll make it up as we go along, let's just get the ankle biters out of here? Big question, I know.
That is a big question. I wish I had the full answer, but from what I've been able to understand and discern and information that I've received in various flashes of insight, we're getting the service to self beings. Most of them need to be, in a sense, translated or transmuted to be more aligned with who they should be instead of what they're expressing.
Right.
And ultimately, to get this planet back into a service to others orientation with just a little bit of service to self, so that there, that little bit of evolutionary friction is available. Things will be much more balanced, and also the levels of etheric energy available will be much, much greater. And so they've already started to increase. And it's really important that people take the time to meditate, to tune in to their higher self, to tune into that enhanced etheric energy so that they can begin incorporating it. And as that occurs, the dormant glands, like say the pineal and the pituitary, begin to grow and become stronger and more able to transmit higher density information into our minds, so that we'll be in third density but aware much more so of what's happening in the fourth and fifth densities. And that ultimately we will begin reimagining our society in a whole new way, without the limitations and restrictions that have been imposed on the current system that is in place. And so the ending of the old ways, structures, the financial system, and we can kind of see it's all getting very chaotic. It's like a beast thrashing in the corner, a wounded beast trying to stay alive. But ultimately, when it goes, things will get much better. Now, the specific date is really just like the cycle coming around full circle. And so we already have the momentum that we need to get essentially control of the timeline or the time loop, so that once we hit that transition point, we can then begin to move much more quickly to that desired set of circumstances. So it's not going to be done by then, but that's going to be sort of the launching point, as I see it, to that next level.
So do you think that's part of the reason why so many people internally are shifting towards more of a self-sufficient or self-determined way of life?
Oh, yeah, that's a huge part of it. Because they don't want to be slaves to the system.
Yeah.
So they're rejecting already the old system and forming something new. Now, what ultimately forms is going to be much more cooperative. It's going to be people coming together in communities, cooperating, sharing, exchanging their knowledge and gifts with each other in a very open type of system where everyone gives, and so everyone has an abundance.
Oh my goodness, that's amazing.
But it's not going to happen on December 22nd. In a sense, it's happening right now though too. So
yeah.
we have the two systems kind of running in parallel. We have this new vision that we're creating and building and working towards. And then we have the old thing that's currently trying to stay alive, trying to keep people immersed in the fear and the 40-hour work week and the mortgage payment and the car payment and all of the payments that have to be given to the system, because that's them giving their energy to this dying system to keep it alive a little while longer.
Absolutely. That's where our currency comes from, is our energy and lots of other things as well.
Absolutely. And I really love that you said that, Cameron, that you made that point, because, you know, when we have fun with the conspiracies on here and, you know, talking about Obamacare and its retardness and all that kind of stuff, but what always fascinates me about a lot of these things is people always miss those little points that control you, that take some of your power away, that keep you down, that keep you locked in the argument of Democrat versus Republic and da 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 da. So you're still going around in this circle, and then there's the rest of us who are trying so hard to pull out of it, and it's very frustrating. It can be definitely very frustrating at times. So what I want to ask you is, how do we be bridge builders? Because I've been reading a lot about that, especially when you're talking about how, you know, we're slowly building the new world, the old world slowly dying. How do we kind of, you know, hold the space, I guess, for people who kind of want to, you know, jump on board and break out of this? Especially when they're driving us batshit crazy.
Well, there's a lot of ways. I mean, it really begins with getting to know who you really are, kind of getting to know your higher self, taking time to meditate, taking time to heal the wounds that are being carried in your subconscious and in your soul, clearing out those heavy bags, the baggage that we're carrying around, because the baggage ties us into the system. Every trauma that was inflicted on us by this old paradigm or this service to self paradigm, each of those traumas is a point of energy drain. So when we take our power back from each of those trauma points, then we become more empowered. And as we get our power back, as we align it within ourselves and become more of who we really are instead of who we think we are through the ego concept that we have of ourselves, then it becomes really natural to kind of share that with others in whatever way that they can hear it, to hold that space for a new creation, to do something that inspires you and helps others at the same time. So to just begin acting from a service to others place. And it's going to be different for every person and how they express it. So there's really not a single thing as far as the expression goes, but they're the things that we can all do to get ourselves clear and sovereign are fairly similar. And it really comes down to clearing and resolving and healing old traumas that have been being carried. So a quick example is dying under, let's say, torture in a past life. That's a very significant wound on a soul that's carried from that soul through the life, the next life and the life after that and the life after that. And so you see people that are born with various afflictions, or they develop weird conditions or diseases, and oftentimes these are related to some kind of trauma from the past, a traumatic death or some other traumatic experience that they need to heal. And so the only way to heal that, well, actually there's many modalities to do that, but the essence of it is you, with your higher self, commanding the eternal spirit that you are, that core of your being is spirit. So with your higher self, through your spirit, you go to that trauma, you ask, you know, where is this coming from? And you source it. You find the source and you begin to transmute it. You take your power back from it. You kick out all of the service to self beings that are kind of hiding in that. It's like a little dimensional pocket, really, contained in your soul. And they're hanging out there. They're accessing you through it. They're pulling energy out of you through it. So you take your power back. You kick those beings out. You collapse that little dimension of pain and suffering. And then you create a new dimension filled with light from your higher self, from your inner spirit. And you essentially heal that wound.
Yes, sir. I love this conversation. I'm having so much fun. Everybody, don't go anywhere. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back. I definitely just want to spend the last 30 minutes. We've got another question in the chat room, another good one. I want to ask that. And then I definitely want to talk a little bit about some shielding protocols, Cameron, and if you can kind of give us maybe a quick, some cliff notes on some of the clearing processes people can go through. We're going to talk about that when we come back. Don't go anywhere. You are in the mind of DCS. It is crazy up in here, and it's hot. Holy crap. With Mel Chizadek and Cameron Day. Do not go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Dance. Yes. Move. Next. Dance. Yes. Shimmy, shimmy, y'all. Shimmy, yam, shimmy, yay. I'm an old dirty dog all day. No way, Jose. Your girl only go one way. I mean, money. You should check that out. Maybe you ain't turn around. Maybe it's none of my business. But for now, work it out. Let's get this. Dolly.
Live introduces our first ever iPhone application, Mobile Talk Radio. Imagine having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. You'll be surprised how easy it is to use.
So I think what's going on here is that Obama is banking on unemployment falling.
Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
welcome back to In the Mind of DCS right here on the Public Service Network. I am joined by the always awesome Melchizedek and his amazing personal perspective, which I really want to hear more of because I miss the personal perspective of Melchi, and the always awesome Cameron Day. We've got Jennifer Lopez questions in the chat room that I'm going to completely ignore, but Don is awesome. Thank our awesome listeners who have been joining us for this amazing discussion and the welcome back show of In the Mind of DCS. We're having a great discussion with Cameron about the energy grid and our higher self and kind of what's going on planet Earth and how it's so super important to take your power back and to balance yourself. And we've had some more higher self questions, and I think this is it's a difficult concept for people to grasp. And I completely understand, especially when we've got, like, the ego chirping in our ears. And we had another question from the chat room, Cameron. Don Smith wanted to know, you know, when we talk about the higher self, are we talking about a part of us that is not set by our own standard? Like, I think his question is, like, how do we find it, and how do we know it's our higher self and not our ego?
Okay. So, yeah, the higher self is way beyond any standard that your ego could produce. And the way to find it, the way to tune into it, is simply through focusing on it and realizing that it is really who you really are, ultimately. So the self that you experience in this life, the ego identity that you have in this life, isn't really you. It's a part of you, but it's only a tiny part of the totality of your being. And so the ego is loud and boisterous and jumps in as soon as you have a thought or a question. The ego wants to fill in some kind of answer, even if the answer is far beyond anything that it knows. The higher self is quiet and patient. It is expansive. It gives you flashes of insight and helps you to synthesize and synergize everything that you know and understand, and so it brings everything together for you. So it's a very loving, very patient consciousness, because it's already completed everything that you need to learn. It's, again, it's you at the end of your journey through space and time and through densities of and experience within the universe. So this journey that you're on, at your present moment of awareness, you're only partway through the journey. The higher self is the aspect of you that's completed the journey and is now extending itself backwards to assist you through this process of evolution.
I want to write like a whole book just about the higher self.
Mm-hmm.
I've got this like adventure going on in my head right now. It's fantastic.
you could write some really great books about it too, for sure.
You definitely could, definitely. That was a great question. Thank you. And a great answer, too, by the way. Thank you. Hopefully that will help out a little bit, Don. Process that for a second. We've got another question from the chat room. This comes from Pebbles. Question for you, Cameron. How do the lower negative grids look right now? Are they filling with light from Sunday's meditations? And how do they look after those meditations?
They are improving gradually. Now, this is kind of the... I want to put it, the deep level entrenchment of the negative forces. They're dug in really deep here. So clearing them out is just a matter of patience and persistence. So after each of those Sunday meditations, they do definitely get brighter, and then the dark guys are working overtime to get their human, we'll call them, I don't want to call them puppets, that's a little rude, but, you know,
persons in their employ.
Yeah, there we go, yeah. People that they can manipulate to get them to produce more negative thought forms and low frequency thought forms. So it's kind of a tug of war going on right now, but the good news is that we've got that outer grid restored to a light grid, and there's a lot more energy, etheric energy available. So that is helping to empower individuals who then their meditations are empowered. And the tide is definitely turning. But the thing to watch out for is that the more desperate they get, the harder they're going to attack and push back.
Right. so we have to just be vigilant, be prepared, and keep with the good juju.
Exactly. And whenever you notice them trying to intrude on you, you tell them right off the bat, nope, you are not allowed in here. You get your little dark butt out. And in fact, if they persist, you put them in a containment orb, which is a golden orb of light that holds them in place, and just essentially send them to the galactic core that will either transmute them into a productive member of the universe, or if they don't want to do that, their alternative is to essentially cease to exist.
And I'm glad, all right. And I'm glad you brought that up, Kerry, because I really want to talk about a shielding protocol. Cause especially, I mean, there's a lot of us who have felt it. You know, we get stuck in the thought loop, or we get stuck in the illusion, as I like to call it. And it's difficult to kind of step out of that, especially when, you know, you're kind of we're still stuck in 3D. So what are some shielding protocols to kind of help keep the anchor bodies away and help us, you know, kind of stay in ourselves?
Well, I still maintain the best shield is being connected to your higher self, connected to the core of the planet, having that energetic flow and communication with the planetary core, and then with the galactic core as well. So when you have that energetic flow moving through you, you're dynamic. Your energy is not static, but rather it's moving, and the energy is flowing through you. You create what's known as a torus, T-O-R-U-S, shape around you. It extends out from your heart and surrounds you in a field of energy that is nourishing and protective. So that's really always where you want to be, because then you're open, but you're also protected. Now, if you're getting attacked, and it's a serious attack, I do have a shielding protocol posted on the blog on my website. It essentially involves putting yourself in an octahedron, which is two pyramids connected at their base, the one pointing up, one pointing down. And then you wrap a sphere around the upper part, a sphere around the lower part, and they overlap, and then you wrap one more sphere around the whole thing. Now, that's a heavy shield. That's for when you're dealing with some major attacks from ankle biters, or even human incarnated ankle biter minions. You don't want to be in that kind of shield all the time. It's very isolating. It's kind of lonely in there. And you have to, of course, make sure that even while you're in that shield, that you still have that connection to planet Earth and to the galactic core running as well, or you'll... It just doesn't feel good to be, and it's like living your life in a soundproof, lightproof chamber. You know, who wants to live like that? But it's useful for dealing with a big attack. So you can put that on for a little while, deal with the attack, find the entry points that they're using to gain access to you. That's critical. So if you're being attacked, they're gaining access to you somehow. Maybe given permission by, let's say, in your mind at some point, you reached out and asked for aliens or ETs to come and visit you, but you didn't specify that you only want to interact with the highest frequency, most loving service to others beings in existence, and that you will not accept any imitators or imposters or service to self beings. So if you put out just like a general call for ETs, well, someone's going to show up, and most likely they won't be who you were expecting. So that's one area. If you have a fear, if you have a wound of any sort, if you have habitual anger, habitual judgment, I mean, basically every ego issue that you could have is potentially an opening or a chink in your armor. So you'll need to address those and heal each wound or each, call it an illusion that you're believing in, so that they can no longer access you through that particular point of your consciousness.
What are some ways then that we can kind of help stay connected? Because you talked about staying connected to the galactic core and about staying connected to Earth. Can we do a simple chakra meditation, for example, a visualization like that?
Yes.
Very cool. Very, very cool. Very cool. Are there other ways? Because I know you've got like a whole. I love some of your. You've got like genius brain power and enhanced meditations, and those are awesome. I've listened to a couple.
Yeah, those are nice for helping get you into the deeper meditative state, where your ego is silent for a while. That's always a very useful, beneficial, and healing state to be in. So that'll help you get to that deeper meditation. But staying connected really involves an active process in your consciousness where you're simply maintaining in your awareness that you intend that your heart is connected to the core of the planet and the core of the galaxy. And whenever you think about it, you just reaffirm that that connection is ongoing. And it can really be as simple as that. It's an active process, in a sense, that's running in the background in your consciousness.
Simple it is. I mean, we've talked about some very complex things, and it can get complex. But I know I've read a lot of. I mean, Chiz and I kind of both have read so many things, and like you said, 90% is crap, and 10% we get, and then the 10% you get is like whoa. But it's nice to hear that just some simple meditations, going out and connecting with nature, that sort of thing. Silencing the ego a little bit, sitting in love. Doing the things that you love, letting your creative force kind of come out into the world. All those things just make a huge difference. I don't think people realize how big of a difference it makes. I mean, because we've talked about how powerful one little negative thought is. You know, imagine about all your loving, non-self-serving ones.
Exactly. Your loving thoughts, the act of just loving another person. Sometimes loving another person means forgiving them, accepting them. Recognizing that they are maybe going through a tough time in life and helping them with some kind words. It can mean loaning your neighbor a garden tool. You know, it can be little things. I mean, love takes a million times a million different forms. And it can be very subtle, but every loving act, or even just loving yourself by, say, de-stressing. Turning off the television and taking a bath. You know, little things like that that take you out of that stress loop, put you into that self-nurturing, self-loving loop. All of those little loving acts begin to redefine yourself.
Very cool. And sends more awesome energy out to the grid, which is always a good thing.
Exactly.
Very cool. Let's, in the last, 20 minutes we have here, I want to briefly talk about, because you've got a section on your blog called Health and Nutrition. And I kind of want to talk about, because we mentioned about, the poor guy with the bath salts probably got possessed for a few minutes while he ate that guy's face. Oh, my goodness. So how important, when we talk about, the meditation and being prepared, is, just eating right, exercising, that sort of thing? I mean, is it really that big of a deal? Like, do we got to do it?
Yeah, afraid so.
Answer is yes.
Yeah. But, the thing is, you don't need to freak out about if you want to have a candy bar, have a candy bar. Enjoy it. Because stressing out over not eating right is worse than not eating right. If that makes any sense.
Right. Absolutely.
So, enjoy your food. That should be the number one thing. But seek to have high quality foods, have organic as much as you can, but don't try to be 100% organic, because again, that becomes stressful. Because you're like, oh no, I couldn't find any organic zucchini, now what am I going to do? Right? Well, just have the non-organic or have something else. Don't stress about it. Just try to get the higher quality foods into your body. Enjoy your foods. Have a cookie when you want a cookie. Don't freak out about it. Sugar's not going to kill you, even though Dr. Mercola says so. and again, it just be balanced with it. And then move your body. Do something that involves moving your body that you enjoy doing. Take a walk. That's excellent. Always, kind of the baseline. Get a rebounder, like a cellar sizer, those little mini trampolines, and just bounce up and down on that. Like 10 minutes a day. It doesn't have to take up all of your time. If you're into it, you can lift some weights and make your body stronger. All of those things are good when done in balance and moderation. So, don't have to go out and run marathons. That's taking it too far. That's putting too much stress on your body. You want to balance your stresses and your self-nurturing cycle. So it's okay to be a little stressed during the day as long as you can wind it down at night and nurture yourself at night and then go to bed calm and sleep well so that you're refreshed and rejuvenated.
Very cool. And a very nice little 101 there. I like that. Don't go crazy, everybody, but damn it, eat your peas. Never going to get old. It's not going to get old. That was such a great show. last question, Cameron, and I kind of want to know, if, just from your perspective, is there any upcoming days that we should kind of be aware of? Because, we love astrology here. We've got some other guests that we love. And astrologically speaking, actually, this year is actually more exciting prior to December 21st, 2012, than it actually is on that day. I think, like, October are hot months and November are hot months. So just, you know, in your experience, have you gotten any, like, you know, be prepared, people are going to be batshit crazy in November, or, you know, what's going on?
It's just going to keep getting more and more intense. And so the energies are going to be escalating. So it's going to be really important to integrate those energies and to ground yourself as much as you can. And that's another important thing. Get barefoot on the soil if you can. Take baths with Epsom salts. That helps you get grounded. But as far as any specific day, I haven't been clued into anything like that, mostly because I don't ask. I found that on the days when I was anticipating something, that it happened like 2 days before. So, like, oh, look, well, here it is now, apparently. Right. So all kinds of new energies and new frequencies come online at unexpected times. There's a lot of really talented astrologers out there that are kind of giving us the macro vision of what's happening astrologically. And then, of course, with astrology, you've got to take that with a grain of salt too, because you have precessional slippage. You have the Western astrologers versus the Vedic astrologers, and everyone has their own kind of perspective on it. So go with what feels right for you. Don't stress about it. You know, don't stress that, oh God, you know, we got this big alignment coming up, and, you know, I've got to be prepared for it. It's like, just take a breath and do what you can in the moment right now. Take 10 minutes and meditate. It doesn't have to be an hour. If you have an hour, awesome, go for it. But if you don't have that hour, take the time that you can. Get connected, get grounded, connect yourself to the heart of the planet, the heart of the galaxy, and the heart within you. That, because in your heart, that's where your spirit dwells. That's your divine inner self is what I call it. But you can just call it spirit. It's a little more simple. And tune into that heart, stay in that heart space, stay grounded as much as you can.
Absolutely. And would that be good advice to give? Because I have a lot of friends, and I know a lot of people who, some of them I kind of watch from an outside perspective, or their anxiety levels are rising. It would seem that kind of all the things that they're trying to keep down are coming out in full force, and they're just getting more intense is kind of what I'm noticing. So it's almost like, deal with your shit, and if you don't, it's going to stay in your face, and that's just going to get more and more as kind of we go through this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Your stuff is going to come up to be cleared. So you need clearing tools. That's what I put out Ascension Help for. So go to ascensionhelp.com. Level 1 is totally free. Level 2 is really inexpensive. I'm making these tools as accessible as possible so that you can have some clearing tools in your toolkit. So when something comes up, you can just address it and clear it instead of feeling like you have to suppress it or like there's nothing you can do about it.
Excellent, excellent advice. Yeah, everybody, please go to ascensionhelp.com. Check out Cameron's website. Check out the blog page. It's awesome. Definitely use some of his clearing tools. And in your own church, discernment, everybody, lots of it, please. Oh, my goodness. So many crazies out there. Melchi, what do you got? You got anything else for Cameron? We got questions, perspective, comments, concerns?
No, I'm good right now. That was a pretty good show.
I think that was an excellent show. I think that was an excellent welcome back show. I want to give a big shout out to everybody in the chat room for coming out. If anybody's got some last minute questions or comments, you just want to add to the discussion, we've got some time here. Stick it in the chat room. We're in here. We're watching you. Cameron, anything that you want to make people aware of? Another global meditation day, anything like that coming up?
Well, every Sunday, that Cobra guy does global meditations. I'm a little reserved about Cobra, but, you know, he does have the unique ability to get a lot of people meditating at the same time. He includes connecting to the galactic core, which for some reason not very many people have picked up on. I kind of expected a lot of imitators by now promoting galactic core meditations, so I'm surprised I haven't seen more of that, but he does include that, so I like that about him. So yeah, he's, if you check out his site, just do Cobra Blog. I don't know what his exact URL is, but he's out there. He's got interesting information. He's apparently connected to Pleiadians, but you know, you kind of have to really vet these so-called ETs and really pin them down on specific details to make sure that they are who they say they are. Because again, third density consciousness can be fooled by fourth density fairly easily. Because if you think about it, like if a good example, you're playing fetch with your dog. Well, how easy is it for you to pretend to throw the ball and your dog runs out and he's like, "Where's the ball? Where's the ball?"
Right.
So. So you can kind of take that as an analogy to how easily a fourth density consciousness can fool a third density consciousness. So you have to be fairly vigilant about any ETs that are contacting you. So for those reasons, I'm a little reserved about him. But like I said, he brings people together very effectively for these meditations on Sunday. So I would do that. I would also, something that just popped in, recommend doing as many things as you can to calm and soothe yourself so that your sleep is good, for example. Magnesium is very important. You can get magnesium through bath salts, meaning Epsom salts.
Way to spread the zombie attacks, Cameron.
The Epsom salts that you can buy at your local pharmacy, those are basically magnesium and sulfur, which are both very important elements for your body. You can also get a magnesium oil. You can spray it on your skin. I've been doing a lot of that because as the energies rise, if my magnesium levels are low at all, then I find I have personally a hard time sleeping, which is no fun at all. So you want to make sure that you're getting plenty of magnesium absorbed through your skin. You can only absorb a limited amount through your GI tract. So make sure you're paying attention to that magnesium intake. Have a bit of warm milk. Warm it up, though. That's important. Warm milk at night, that ancient kind of home remedy for getting a good night's sleep. Make sure you're sleeping well. Get to bed as early as you can. You know, try to get ready and in bed somewhere after 10 o'clock. Don't stay up until 1 a.m. Watching TV or surfing the net or whatever else.
I'm a night owl, Cameron. This doesn't work for me.
I know. I know. I used to be up till 1 a.m. all the time too, but the message coming through is that I needed to get to bed earlier and earlier and earlier. So nowadays I try to actually be fully completed with all my bedtime rituals and actually in bed by 11 o'clock.
This is blasphemy that you speak of. You're taking away from my Star Wars MMO time. We've got another question from the chat room, and I love these questions. This is a good one. Don asked, our troublemaker today, you just are Don. I'm just kidding. Don wants to know, the higher self that has, you know, completed kind of our journey in space and time, why does it not communicate with our present on some big things? For example, September 11th, the fires in Colorado. He says, I would think saving lives would be good for cosmic balance. It's a heavy question.
It is a heavy question. Now, I would say that it already is happening. But people override their higher self all the time through their ego mind. You see, the higher self will not take you over and force you to do something or coerce you to do something. It will give you guidance. It will give you inspiration. It will give you flashes of insight. Now, there are many people that didn't go to work on September 11th. They decided to stay home or call in sick or do something else, or they got delayed somehow, and they were spared. They were saved that day.
Right.
So it's a matter of listening to it. It's always communicating to you, but it's not in the way that your ego mind wants it, which is like a blaring trumpet in your head telling you exactly what to do, because it won't do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that was an excellent question and a really good answer. I want to add to it, too, that a lot of times some of the things that we think suck do and don't. kind of a thing. I would say that some events, I would say maybe are catalysts to push us in a direction that we needed to go. I can just think of experiences in my life that I thought were just absolutely horrible, and they were at the time, but I'm so glad I had them because I learned XYZ.
Exactly. You know? And in speaking of 9/11, that was also a major catalyst in waking up many, many people who were ignorant to the levels of deception and corruption that were rampant in the government and the secret governmental levels on this planet. So as terrible of a tragedy as it was also a catalyzing event. And even though it gave the dark side temporary boost in their power, it's proven to be part of their undoing.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'd 100% agree with that. So, and you know, they've actually, and I'm also glad you asked that question, Don, because I like to do a lot of the scientific research when we talk about the spiritual as well. And there are a lot of different studies that show that you can absolutely tune in to that type of thing, that Earth herself will kind of warn you when those types of things are happening. You just have to be in tune to it.
Exactly.
And it happens all the time, especially when there's about to be a tsunami or an earthquake or that sort of thing. You know, when nature gives us a heads up, we've just forgotten how to listen. Is basically what it boils down to.
Yep.
So, another great episode of In the Mind of DCS. We've got kind of at the 5-minute mark here, so I want to wind down. Cameron, please replug the heck out of yourself, then we'll sign off here and let somebody else take over the Paranormal Soup Network, Public Service Network.
Sure. So, again, the website is ascensionhelp.com. That's ascensionhelp.com. That's the main site. There's also geniusbrainpower.com, just spelled like it sounds. That's where you can get meditation assistance tools through brainwave entrainment. They'll help you meditate. They will also stimulate your brain so you can form new neural synaptic connections. So that's
you just said that's awesome.
That's very useful as well in helping to store knowledge in your cerebral cortex. So all of these things are important. The meditating, the clearing, the acquiring of knowledge and the implementation of that knowledge so that you can be as sovereign as possible, you can be as integrated, aware, and healed as possible. So that's what I'm here for. I'm only a catalyst. It's really up to you to do it for yourself. I do actually offer one-on-one clearings after you've gone through level one and level two. If you want a little one-on-one assistance, I do facilitate that as well. But ultimately, my goal is to get you as empowered as possible and as aligned with your true inner divine self or your higher self as you possibly can be.
Very awesome. Very awesome. Cameron, thank you so much for being with us today. It is always a pleasure to have you here on the Mind of DCS. And thank you so much for being the catalyst and for what do you do. It's been helpful to me and I'm sure helpful to a lot of other people.
You're welcome. I'm happy to help, and thank you for having me. I had a great time today.
Absolutely. Melchizedek, take us out, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
Do it.
It's been great, Cameron. Thanks for stopping by the show and being a guest again on the show. Another great show. Thank you, Ms. DCS, for the show, this platform that we have, and PSN Radio. Thank you for everybody listening. And, yeah.
Fantastic. You got it. What happened to much love, peace, and bless? I need my... Take us out, Melchizedek.
You need me? You need the usual? Much love.
I need the usual. We got to do it.
much love, peace, and blessings to all the entities out there everywhere.
And that's what's up. All right, everybody. We'll be back next Friday, and then eventually we're going to start our every other Friday show, so we'll be here twice a month. We'll let you know. Go to DCS Radio, themindofdcs.com, or just go to themindofdcs.com. Have a great night, everybody. We're out of here.